Here, transcribed, is another in NBC's outstanding parade of new shows. Four Star Playhouse, a repertory company of four great Hollywood stars.
This is Robert Cummings.
This is Rosalind Russell.
This is Fred McMurray.
This is Loretta Young.
Yes, these are the stars heard weekly on Four Star Playhouse. Ladies and gentlemen, one of our four star players and star of tonight's play, Robert Cummings.
Thank you very much, and welcome to our Playhouse again. Every Sunday night at this time, Rosalind Russell, Fred McMurray, Loretta Young, and I appear in new dramatizations of stories selected from Cosmopolitan magazine, stories by the world's leading writers of popular fiction. And tonight, Cummings carries culture to our Playhouse. I play a young college professor who is not absent-minded, who is a quick fellow with a flip quip, and who is by no means indifferent to the girls. In fact, he's so different from indifferent, he's in difficulties indefinitely. And if that's confusing, it's nothing to the confusion and hoopla we're about to bring you in Richard Stern's gay comedy, Surprise for the Professor. The dignified college music, please, Dr. Harris.
Professor Oliver Winthrop Jones, huh? A-B-M-A, Ph.D., huh? And not a day over 30, huh? Oh, aha. Wow, wow. Get busy, Amanda. Get busy.
Amanda Thomas, eh? Distressing young lady. Very good student, but those sweaters. Not that I'm against sweaters. Or perhaps I should rephrase that. Not that I object to sweaters, but such colors. It's distracting. The colors, I mean, to the student body, I mean. Well, not body. I mean, well, yes. Well, I must speak to her about it. After class, that is. Well, sometime, that is. About those sweaters, that is.
It's starting to get him. Let's see now. Today, the cardigan. Next, the yellow cable stitch. Wednesday, cashmere. Thursday, fleece. Friday, angora. Will Dr. Jones be bothered? I hope to kiss a pig.
It's too much. Scarlet, vermilion, fuchsia, yellow. Sweaters are for football fields. Sweaters are for grandmothers to knit and little dogs on cold days. Well, it's going to stop today. The edict is no more sweaters. That's final. No more sweaters. What do we consider Concord as the cradle of American literature? Concord with its Emerson, Thoreau, Hawthorne, we can truly say, America, too, has its Stratford where literary genius flowered. Now, if there are any questions on the notes that you've taken, no questions, ladies and gentlemen, then I should like to dismiss the class. And may I ask Miss Amanda Thomas to step into my sweater, please? I mean Miss Amanda Sweater to step into class! Now, wait a minute. Go home. Miss Thomas, you stay here.
Wanted to speak to me, Professor?
Yes. Miss Thomas.
Yes, Professor. May I look at your glasses, please?
Look at my glasses?
May I?
Why, yes, of course. Here, why?
Just as I thought.
What do you mean, just as you thought?
Plain glass in your spectacles. Optical falsies.
Miss Thomas.
I've been watching you during your lectures, and I was pretty sure your glasses were phony.
About your sweaters.
I won't tell anybody.
You don't have to tell anybody. They shriek to high heaven.
about your glasses, I mean. It's our secret.
What's our secret?
That you wear plain glass cheaters to make you look older.
You are a brash and impertinent young woman.
And you're a nice guy, Jonesy.
Well, thank you. Jonesy!
I like the way you lecture, and I like to read your essays. You know, they sound real mature. And it's nothing against a professor if he happens to look like Robert Cummings.
We are here to discuss your flamboyant sweaters, Miss Thomas.
I wish to discuss your beard.
I don't have a beard.
Well, that's why we should discuss it.
Really, Miss Thomas?
If you want to look older, why don't you grow a beard?
What if I don't like beards?
Then I must regard you as being against the Abraham Lincoln administration, sir.
Miss Thomas, your levity notwithstanding,
Come now, let's not fight the Civil War all over again.
About your sweaters again.
All right. What about them?
What about them?
Yes, what about them?
You don't know?
I like them.
You like them? Well, I like them too, but I mean...
You're thinking of the rest of the class, I know.
That's just it. I'm not thinking of the rest of the class. How could I think of anything when it... It's those colors.
Okay. I'll wear white.
Why?
Black.
Miss Thomas?
Present.
It's unfair.
You're unfair. War raisers of the world, unite.
Now, see here.
You're anti-chic.
I'll have you suspended.
Yes. My dad endowed this college. R. Llewellyn Thomas.
Oh, blackmail, huh?
Well, I don't know how he made his fortune. I'm just saying he sunk a lot of it in this college.
Thanks.
As a matter of fact, he made his fortune making sweaters.
Then he should have hired his models and not spawned one.
Professor, good for you.
And there's more where that came from.
Jonesy, you are not only my favorite professor, but you've got a fighting heart and a fighting chin, and a beard will look just lovely on it. Go to it, Jonesy.
Now, get this straight, Miss Thomas. There will be no beard.
But I like beards.
I dare say you like sweaters, too, but I won't wear them for you.
Silly boy.
You may go, Miss Thomas.
You will grow a beard, though, won't you?
I will not.
For your own dignity?
Not even for the faculty play.
For me?
No, especially not for you.
I'll make a bargain with you. You start a beard, and I'll stop sweaters.
Ha! Another attempt to pull the wool over my eyes, huh? Good afternoon, Miss Thomas. It was outrageous to think that an institution of learning could be bullied by its inmates. And I use the term advisedly, inmates. Miss Amanda Thomas was clearly non-compos mentis, as we say in the vernacular, or more technically, nuts. A beard, indeed. I walked across the campus fuming. Fire and brimstone. Who was she to tell me to wear a beard? I don't know to this day how it happened, but walking up the steps of my house, I must have tripped on something and... Oh!
Clear to the bone, of course.
Doctor. Just sew it up.
A couple of more stitches, Professor.
I wonder if Ethiopinza removes gallbladders.
Your pardon?
Nothing.
Ouch!
Yeah, there we are, Professor. And a neat suture, too.
Well, if the suture suits you, it suits me.
Again?
Nothing.
And now then, a little sulfur. A bit of sterile gauze.
And a cozy table for two.
There you are.
Will there be a scar, Doctor?
Yeah, only on your dignity, Professor. Only on your dignity.
When can I take the bandage off my chin?
A couple of weeks.
A couple of weeks? Well, how will I shave?
You won't.
But I've got to shave.
Why?
Why?
Well, Santa Claus doesn't.
Leave Santa Claus out of it.
Just grow a beard, that's all.
But I can't grow a beard.
Well, then you don't have to shave.
Well, what I mean to say is, I don't want to grow a beard.
Why not?
Fight. I won't have her thinking that I did it to make her wear field jackets.
Perhaps I'd better have a look at your head.
Never mind, what do I owe you?
I'll send you a beard.
Imagine 2 weeks and a beard.
Well, Uncle Sam wears a beard.
I don't care!
Well, aren't you interested in your country?
Just let me out of here, that's all. The winters were colder then. Good beer.
slip in, Professor.
Oh, it's you. I'll walk, thanks.
I heard about your accident. Come on. Jump in. Tell Amanda all about it, huh?
Well, it is a long walk. Very well. Nice car.
Thank you. Too bad about your chin.
Well, it's nothing, just clear to the bone.
How did it happen?
I fell down my front steps.
Oh. It's all my fault, of course.
Your fault? Just how do you associate yourself with my accident?
It wasn't an accident, Jonesy.
You don't think I plunged headfirst down the steps as a term project, do you?
But it's so perfectly simple. I planted the idea in your unconscious.
The idea of plunging down the steps?
No, the idea of growing a beard. Your unconscious took it from there.
And Miss Thomas, you are suffering from hallucinations.
It's possible, of course, that if the suggestion came from anyone else, your unconscious mind would have rejected the idea. Illuminating, ain't it?
Miss Thomas, have you seen the new nylon straitjackets in stunning pastel shades?
You're in love with me, Jonesy.
I am?
Yes, I've suspected it for some time.
You have?
The way you look at me, the way you don't look at me.
Heads I lose, tails I lose, huh?
You love me.
It's a revolting development.
This so-called accident proves it. It's psychology.
Manifestly the subject in which you are most likely to flunk out.
Oh, now you're just being purposely dense.
No, believe me, it's the most natural thing in the world with me. I won my Ph.D. in a quiz show.
You know, Jonesy, I think it's kind of sweet you're being in love with me.
I am not in love with you.
Ah, sure you are.
I may even have a slight loathing for you, Miss Thomas.
Don't fight it, Jonesy. Don't fight it. Relax and... Well, no. Just get a load of me as I drive away. Young, live, a strong, healthy animal.
Then why don't you walk?
Haven't you heard about the wolves, Professor?
No, have they got a good team this year?
Well, I see you're going to be troubled.
Did you think that I was going to be a stammering pushover for the usual blandishments of women?
Well, it did look like a setup.
Well, I'm not. I'm going to be troubled.
Hard to get.
Impossible to get. Get it?
Got it.
Remember it.
But wait until you see what's new in knitwear. So long.
So long.
Hard to get.
You are listening to the four-star Playhouse dramatization of Richard Stern's Cosmopolitan magazine story, Surprise for the Professor, starring Robert Cummings with Mary Jane Croft.
I spent the evening reading Henry James' The Aspirin Papers. I had a slight headache. However, it was pleasant stuff. Gentlemen behaved like gentlemen. Ladies did not wear snug, brightly colored sweaters. And men had beards practically from birth. I arose the next morning confident, restored, and refreshed. I was again the master of my fate. Until I looked in the mirror. Around the bandage on my chin was a very tiny beard. I looked like a cheap grade of sandpaper. Before breakfast, I stopped at Dr. Swithin's to have the bandage changed.
Yeah, going to have a nice beard there, Professor.
Yes, today I am a man.
You have a nice chin for a beard.
Yes, they were made for each other.
Yeah, I wish I had a chin.
Well, keep on exercising it like that, and you'll look like Dick Tracy in no time.
You're an odd sort of a professor.
Yes, but I'll get even.
With who?
Whom? Whom?
You're a professor, all right.
Make it quick, Doctor. I'm late for breakfast at the faculty club already.
Professor Jones, wasn't that young Miss Thomas I saw you riding with yesterday?
Yes, Professor Clark, it was.
Daughter of our most important trustee and benefactor.
So she has pointedly informed me.
Very lovely young girl.
A sweater girl.
Congratulations.
Congratulations?
Good hunting.
Professor Clark, I am not a hunter.
At least you don't go about armed. What's the trick, anyhow?
I just say, drop dead.
Yes?
It doesn't always kill.
Well, I I don't understand, Jones.
That's because sometimes it only stuns.
But I don't...
Understand. No. Excuse me, Professor. I have some papers to correct in my office. Good morning. Come in.
Jonesy.
Go away.
You don't mean that, Professor.
I wonder if there's a DDT for people.
Say, did you see the school paper about us?
I'm afraid to listen.
Bert Chambers, the editor, has us engaged practically.
Is this Bert Chambers a very athletic young man?
Oh, never mind. I told him off, but good. Right in the main dining hall.
Oh, Lord. There were people around?
Students.
Oh, I was afraid there'd be people. Now, see here. Why don't you return to that lovely past when your great-grandmother and your great-grandfather hadn't even met?
You know, if this were a movie, I'd tell the audience to go home and let the babysitter go, because this can end in only one way. We get married.
Very possibly, but not to each other.
Stick around, audience.
Miss Thomas, this entire thing is fantastically absurd, and I demand that you clear out of my office.
You can't talk like that to me.
Out before I throw you out.
Get your clumsy hands off me.
Very well, but you must get out.
Why'd you take your clumsy hands off me?
Because you told me to.
That's right, I did. I shouldn't have, though. It was so nice.
Oh, of all the insufferable luck.
I was sure you had it in you someplace. Bye-bye, Blackbeard.
Thomas, sir. The name, sir, is Thomas.
Thomas.
R. Llewellyn Thomas.
R. Llewellyn Thomas.
My daughter tells me you're in love with her.
Mr. Thomas, I am not in love with your daughter. I am not even faintly fond of your daughter. I have tried to convince your daughter of that.
Hopeless, isn't it?
Hopeless?
Trying to convince her you don't love her. I told her mother the same thing. For years.
No, oh no. This can't go on for years.
Like mother, like daughter is what I say.
But I don't want to marry Amanda.
Has nothing whatever to do with it.
Look, I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my soul.
You can be a general of the armies and that girl will still pass out the orders.
I wonder if I should kill myself.
She's not so terrible.
I do not want to get married. Is that clear?
As if what you want matters.
If she marries me, I'll run away after the ceremony.
You'll be back, though. I was.
Obviously.
I've heard a lot about you, Jones.
You shall hear less and less, and then finally, nothing.
I thought I'd just drop in and see what my future son-in-law looks like. Well, chin up, old boy.
If I'd kept it up when I fell, I'd have cut my throat and been out of all this money. There was only one alternative. I'd resign before submitting to being lassoed and branded with a bobby pin. I wrote out a resignation. I chose my words beautifully. They rolled and reverberated. I finished the draft and carried it home with me, cherishing it as a spy cherishes his vial of poison. On the morning of the 14th day of the beard, I went back to Dr. Swithin.
Ah, there. Magnificent blush you've got on your chin now.
Yes, I'm the envy of every fox on the campus.
They're keeping it nicely trimmed, I see.
Well, I had to do something. It was getting caught in my teeth.
Growing your own dental floss, eh? Well, the wound healed perfectly. Goodbye now.
But what about the new bandage?
Oh, you don't need a bandage. You're cured. Your beard is tidy. A man can't ask for more. I'll send you my bill.
It was like one of those dreams where you find yourself walking down Main Street in your shorts. I felt naked with my now uncovered beard. Of course, I could shave it off or fake a bandage. Oddly, neither scheme appealed to me. Besides, there was my 10 o'clock lecture. I entered the campus and almost stumbled over the ankles of Amanda Thomas on the stone bench outside the lecture hall.
Oh, I've been waiting for you, Jonesy. Jonesy!
Oh, shut up.
Oh, your beard.
You like it?
It's magnificent.
I was just on my way to set it on fire.
Oh. Poor Jonesy. You just won't give in, will you?
Look, will you go marry an underclassman and have 16 retarded children?
I want you.
The vice versa is distinctly not the case.
I think you need a rest.
I need a rest from you. You and those sweaters.
I wouldn't go so far or be so trite as to say that beard has sapped your strength.
Well, so far and go so trite because, believe me, it has.
Jonesy.
Miss Thomas.
You need something, Jonesy.
I do? Well, not you. There's just one thing that I need, and that is...
Don't say it. It's what I've been trying to tell you all the time.
Is that why you ambushed me out here?
I am here with Tidings.
Really? Where's Tidings? Watering the horses?
My father wants to see you.
He did see me.
Well, he wants to see you again.
What
this
for?
This time with President Clark of the university.
Oh.
You'll find out what for at lunch. Here's Dad's note to you.
I see. This, then, is it.
What, then, is what?
I have a letter also to deliver.
Oh? What kind of a letter?
They'll find out at lunch. This was it. I went home and got out my lovely letter of resignation. I read it over. It was a masterpiece of vitriol H2SO4. Then I stomped off to keep my meeting with Llewellyn Thomas and President Clark at the Handsome Thomas home. Miss Amanda Thomas answered my sweater. Or my knock.
Well, you're just in time, Professor. Jonesy, you didn't.
I didn't.
You cut off your beard.
Then I did.
You shaved off that lovely thing.
You have a cute perception, Miss Thomas.
Oh, and you had such a cute beard.
Perhaps, but I did not aim to be your fuller brush man.
Oh, come in, Jonesy.
Thank you.
Why did you shave it off?
It was getting into my food. And if I may be so blunt, my food was getting into it. It was getting rich.
I know why you shaved it off. You shaved it off because you knew I liked it.
That's nonsense.
And if I said I didn't like it, you'd grow it back just to spite me.
You're flattering yourself.
So do those bright sweaters. And I'm going to wear them in class now as long as I like.
I don't care how long you wear them. I care how quick you wear them. Now, will you be good enough to direct me into the presence of your father and President Clark?
Through that door.
Thank you.
You open it first, of course.
Elementary.
Oh, there you are, Professor Jones. Glad to see you. Glad to see you.
Thank you, Mr. Thomas. How are you, Dr. Clark?
I see your chin is healed up, Professor. But what's wrong with your nose?
Oh, it's nothing. It's just blood.
You shave, too.
Yes, sir.
Professor Jones, Mr. Thomas here has generously seen fit to endow Kennedy College with another and even more generous sum of money. A rather large sum of money. A sum of money...
Get to the point, Clark. Get to the point.
Oh, yes, quite. The purpose of the new gift is to establish a chair of creative literature. And after careful consideration, we have decided to appoint you the first R. Llewellyn Thomas Professor of Creative Literature at Kennedy College.
Oh. Well, that's very kind of you, gentlemen.
No strings attached, Professor. You don't have to tear off box tops or answer riddles in song. You don't have to marry anybody, either. Hmm?
Gentlemen, much as I appreciate the offer, much as I am touched, I feel impelled at
feel
this time...
Feel impelled not to be impulsive, Professor. Think it over. Step out into the hall and give it a whirl.
I really don't have to think it over, Mr. Thomas.
Walk it around outside a bit while Clark and I exchange stupid anecdotes.
Well, if you insist, Mr. Thomas. Excuse me.
We'll expect you back in 5 minutes, Jones.
Yes, sir. Oh, Amanda.
Well, Jonesy?
They offered me a new professorship.
Oh, congratulations.
No.
Why not?
I'm going to turn it down.
Why?
I'm resigning from Kennedy College.
Resigning?
Yes, I'll turn in my cap and gown tomorrow.
On account of me?
Oh, there you go, flattering yourself again.
Oh, Jonesy, don't do it. I'll drop out of sight. I'll leave college. I'll become a hermit. I'll wear a potato sack.
I'm quitting. I'm going to hand your father and President Clark the prepared resignation I've been carrying for days.
Oh?
You see? It's not an angry impulse.
Well, in that case... There's nothing more I can say. Go ahead and resign. I quit, too.
Amanda, wait.
I've got a class.
Amanda. Miss Thomas.
Just let me through.
But listen. Whoop. That top step.
Yes, it's a Lulu, I know.
Prexy Clark went to the doctor.
Oh, did he? Mm-hmm. Well, help me up. This sidewalk needs inner springs.
Nona, you just lie still.
Why?
You're busted open again.
Again? Amanda, not...
Your chin. Clear to the bone.
I'll have to grow a beard again.
You want to grow a beard again.
I do not want to grow a beard again. I never want to grow a beard again.
Darling, you have nothing to say about it.
They itch me.
Your unconscious makes you take those dyes.
I'm going to sue that guy unconscious.
You see, deep in your inner self, you love me dearly.
Oh, certainly, dearly.
Don't fight it, darling. If you don't marry me, you'll just keep taking it on the chin.
Oh, no.
You'll have to grow beards indefinitely.
Oh, anything rather than that.
You see, Jonesy, your unconscious knows you love me.
My unconscious is in love with you?
Desperately.
Then let unconscious marry you.
Will you be at the wedding, honey?
Wedding? I'll be on the honeymoon with you.
Oh, Jonesy.
You don't for a minute think I'd leave you alone with him, do you? A tricky guy like that unconscious?
I've been listening to Four Star Playhouse, tonight starring Robert Cummings in Surprise for the Professor, written by Richard Stern and adapted for radio by Milton Geiger. Mary Jane Croft was featured as Amanda. Others in the cast were Frank Nelson, Charles Seal, and Herbert Butterfield. Four Star Playhouse is directed by Warren Lewis. Music composed and conducted by Albert Harris. Portions were transcribed. Robert Cummings will soon be seen in the Columbia Pictures comedy, Tell It to the Judge. Listen again next Sunday at this same time for another special adaptation of a popular fiction story selected from Cosmopolitan magazine, written by the world's foremost fiction authors, and starring one of our four great Hollywood stars, Fred McMurray, Loretta Young, Robert Cummings, and Rosalind Russell. Ladies and gentlemen, it can happen to you on this holiday weekend. So many of us blandly believe that traffic accidents always happen to somebody else. That's what somebody else thought until it happened to him. There need be no victims today or tomorrow if you remember that traffic accidents are a threat to every one of us. Labor Day driving calls for a clear head, but whether you're a driver or a pedestrian, be careful. The care you take may save a life. The life you save may be your own. Don't let death take your holiday. In just a few moments, you are going to hear the NBC Symphony Orchestra on the United States Steel Company program. And 1 hour from now, Ethel Merman is sure to delight you in her own new show. For the best in entertainment all evening long, keep your dial tuned to your favorite NBC station. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.